add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
To save his life,
call his wife and hey,
to say,
good morning.
Day.
How's your boy been?
Nothing to do,
nothing to do except
to
talk about the New York Mets, the New York Yankees, the New York Knicks. Well, now that you think about it, there's a lot to do on this Thursday morning. That's right, it's Thursday. Goes quick. It was just Wednesday when I woke up. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. If you didn't hear the beginning of the show, today for me was praise the Met Day, because yes, they pounded the crap out of the New York Yankees. And this isn't, don't, I know what you're thinking, this isn't a way for me to not talk about how they pounded the New York Yankees, because they did. They beat the crap out of the New York Yankees, worse than all the other teams that have beaten the crap out of the New York Yankees recently. I felt more embarrassed as a Yankee fan watching these two games than I did watching the entire series of the Baltimore series, watching the Atlanta series, watching the Boston series. I felt like this was a real big-time ass-kicking. Whether it's taking care of Cole, four home runs, no strikeouts, beating up on Luis Gil, which was a very big start for him, trying to bounce back off his one bad start, and now the questions will persist on whether or not he's just hit a wall or tired and arm fatigue and everything else that's going to come with a young pitcher who's coming off Tommy John and hasn't pitched. So you put that into the heart of every Yankee fan and every reporter and the Yankee team probably themselves and maybe even Luis Gil. But more importantly than that, more importantly than Alvarez hitting the home run, more importantly than continuing to embarrass the Yankees by pitching out of jams in the first inning, more importantly than all of that, more importantly than bragging rights with Ted and accounting, more important than all of that, the New York Mets are at 500. The New York Mets went into this series two games under and have now hit that important mark that you really can't consider yourself a contender, a playoff team until you hit. They are now 500. And 3 weeks ago, I called them dead. I called them dead. Here, Fliegelman, I'll prove it. Do you still have the sound there somewhere, Fleegs? Play the McMonagle calling the Mets dead sounder. Because I did.
They're dead.
I'm willing to call it now. This Met team is dead. Dead. I said it. I remember exactly when I said it. It was a warm Monday morning. I drove in. Almost hit a deer. And then I said, the Mets are dead because they blew the last two games of an Arizona Diamondbacks series after the meeting, after all that, after momentum was built by beating up the Diamondbacks in the first two games of that series. And I just felt like this team can't hold momentum. They stink. They're dead. They were 11 games under 500. There were seven teams in front of them in the wild card, and they were five games out. And today, as we sit here at 4:07 in the morning, they are no longer under 500. They are 500. They've made up 11 games in those 3.5 weeks. They are 1.5 games out of the wild card, and there is only one team in front of them. They have jumped six teams in 3 weeks. They have made up 11 games in 3 weeks, and their offense is the most potent and dangerous in all of baseball for that month. They are the hottest team in baseball for that month. You've got power up and down the lineup. The bottom of the order is taking the Yankees deep at every turn, whether it's Bader, whether it's Taylor, whether it's Vientos. I mean, right now, the Mets, it feels like, and this is coming from a Yankee fan, it feels like, as much as it's about the Yankees playing poorly, and that felt more like yesterday, especially with the Glaber stuff, but or at least the first game in the series 2 days ago. But leaving this series with the Mets, you know what it feels like for a Yankee fan? Forget the noise, forget the nonsense, forget the fun between the fans, forget the idea that, you know, we got to walk in here and I got to see Fliegelman wearing a Mets shirt and blah, blah, blah. You know what it feels like? It feels like the Yankees ran into a buzzsaw. That's what it felt like. It felt like the Yankees didn't belong on the field. It felt like the Mets were the better team and the Yankees were destined to get their ass kicked. That's what it felt like. It felt like, sure, the Yankees are struggling. Sure, the Yankees leave the bases loaded in the first inning in both games. Sure, they've had their faults. And sure, right now, Cole wasn't ready, and Luis Gil is in the middle of struggling. Maybe it's fatigue. Maybe it's not. You know what it felt like? It felt like the Mets were having great at-bats the entire game. It felt like the Mets were playing good defense. First play of the game. First play of the game. Vientos makes the diving stop. Alonso with an incredible scoop. It just felt like they were playing defense. It felt like they were pitching, and it felt like they were absolutely decimating Yankee pitching. It felt like the Yankees just ran into a buzzsaw. And us Yankee fans will lick our wounds. We'll try and figure out what the hell's wrong with this team. We'll complain. We'll scream for the heads of Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone. It's what we do. And we'll move on to Toronto and thankfully put the New York Mets behind us because the Mets kicked the tar out of the Yankees for 2 days. But even more important than that, they made a statement, really, over the course of these 3 weeks, beating good pitching. Yeah, Cole and Heal, but how about Dylan Cease? How about Imanaga? How about Gray, John Gray? At every turn, this Met offense has been dominant and not winning by a few. They haven't been squeaking out victories. They've been pounding people for 3 weeks. 11 games under. 500. Seven teams in front of them, one team in front of them, five games out, a game and a half out. That was 3.5 weeks ago. And it just feels like it's a different world. And then, of course, there's the Yankee side to it. As they are falling apart, you're concerned about the starting pitching. The offense 4-9 is a disaster. The bullpen, although this was really the bottom of the bullpen, got absolutely torched in every inning. I mean, it's just, right now you're trying to make heads or tails of this season that was so promising to start and now seems to, with the only thing going for him is Aaron Judge hitting home runs. That's about it. And this offense just is absolutely in desperate need of somebody to step up. And now for Carlos Rodon, this start tonight in Toronto is an enormous start to put an end to this losing streak. 888-808-1019. Let's get your phone calls here in the 4 o'clock hour, taking you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Liam in Blue Point. What's up, Liam?
Hey, Chris. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Man, the Yankees, it's getting pathetic. I can't even watch them anymore. It's just Glaber can't hit. Verdugo can't hit.
Yep.
We can't pitch. Trevino's not doing great behind the plate, or he's hitting either as well. J.D. Davis, what did we trade for him for? He's not even getting a hit as a Yankee.
I mean, but this is like, you know where I'm going to go with this, right?
I think I know where you're going.
J.D. Davis has played two games. He didn't play for 9 days. Like, we can't get, like, why'd you trade for him? Why would you bother trading for someone who might not get a hit in the first 2 days? I mean, there is a whole season left to go, you know. And I mean, I agree with everything you said, but it's a bad couple of weeks. They're going through a slump. It's like I've made the correlation to like a 300 hitter. A 300 hitter doesn't always hit 300 every step of the way. They'll hit 250 for a while, then they'll hit 350 for a while. Then they'll hit 200 for a while, then they'll hit 400 for a while. There isn't always a clear-cut path, but right now, you're right. The offense, besides the top three, feels really just stagnant and, you know, awful. And Torres is a real problem, and Verdugo has been killing them. A guy who had made a real difference for this team, and it's one of the things we pointed to as why this team was different than previous years. The ability to go lefty-righty, lefty-righty, and to the ability to have a guy who puts the ball in play and comes through in the clutch and hits sacrifice flies and, you know, and plays excellent defense in left field when we had infielders playing left field in previous years. Like, it felt like he was making a real difference with this team, and he's been terrible since the Boston series. So, I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of concern, no doubt. I have no concern about Cole. He'll come around. I even feel fair. As long as Heal says he feels okay, I'm kind of okay there. He's bound to have a blip. I mean, that's just part of it. Like, he's bound to have a blip. We're so already Luis Heal's figured out. He's too good to be true. He's never going to pitch well again. Like, is the guy allowed to have a couple of bad starts his rookie season? Like, I think we need to just take a step back. It's been an ugly 2 weeks. They're about to go play a last place team in Toronto, and hopefully they can turn their season around here.
Yeah, I agree with the Luis Gil. You know, you can't expect a perfect start from him every time.
No,
you know, you got to give him some credit of all the work he's done so far this season. But, yeah, it's just it's getting tough to watch lately. And Gleyber Torres, man, I can't stand him lately. He looks lazy. He looks like he doesn't care. He can't hit. Mm-hmm. He's lazy in the field. It's brutal.
No doubt. He's been brutal. And I've said it before. I said it yesterday. I don't know how many times I got to say it. He doesn't feel like a winning player. He doesn't. And not running out the ball the other night in the eighth inning feels particularly bad to me because, and now obviously Boone comes out before the game, obviously benches him, clearly needs it. And as much as the benching probably was about making a statement to him and was about, you know, I don't know, about punishing him, but holding him accountable and all that, it's also about just giving him some time off to get his head right because, I'm sorry, they need him. They don't have better options. He's struggling right now, no doubt. And looking at him, oh my God, you see him during the game in the dugout? He looks so sad. It's ridiculous. He just looked pathetic sitting there in the dugout. He's got to get his mind straight. And I don't think he's as lazy as people say. I don't. I think he's going through a funk and he mopes. And you know who did the same thing? Gary Sanchez. It's the same thing. They're mopers. And I'm concerned. I see it from, I said this the other night after his last start. I'm concerned that we are seeing Carlos Rodon as a moper. He gets the bad first inning. He's screaming at his teammates. Then he gets knocked out of the game. He's Gleyber Torres, of all people, has to put his arm around him to console him. He has to cover his face with his hat because he's practically in tears. And then in the post game, he could barely utter words. He seemed so freaking down and sad. Like, he went through the emotional gamut. Like, we got to control our emotions a little bit. And guys who mope, like Gary Sanchez, like Carlos Rodon, like Gleyber Torres, it's harder to get out of funks when you just lose yourself. And it's harder to be here in the town when, you know, dopes like me and idiots like me have a microphone and say you're a losing player. It's hard to deal with it if you're going to act like this. But that doesn't change the fact against left-handed pitching, especially, they don't have better options, man. Like, he needs to get going, especially until the trade deadline. You can't just jettison him. You can't cut him. I'm telling you, you are not at the point yet. This roster is not at the point yet where it's addition by subtraction. I really don't believe so. They need to get him going. The at-bat in the eighth inning, I understand if your hamstring, or in his case, a groin or a quad, are a little bit tight and you're not going to run things out completely. We've seen it from Stanton the entire year. And I remember earlier in the season, a game that Joe Girardi was doing, they called out Gleyber for not running a ball out. And he said, listen, it happens. It's part of the game. Everybody does it. Like, he downplayed it. I was shocked. I think everybody was. But in the eighth inning, after they hit that grand slam, after Judge hits the grand slam, and he rolls a topper. This wasn't a bullet hit right to the third baseman where the guy has it in his glove before you make two steps out of the box. Like, this was a roller. This was a topped little ground ball that was a roller out there where a million things could happen, and he still didn't have the instinct of busting it, trying to smell a hit during a miserable stretch. It was more than just not running it out. It was the circumstance. The Yankees had just gotten back into the game, and he hit a little topper roller. Look, is he probably out even if he runs? Yeah, but that was more than just a ground ball. That was one of those soft hit. You could smell an infield single, and he gave you nothing. And I'm glad he was benched. He needs it, but he needs it to get right. I don't need him to stew there and be placed in timeout like he's in kindergarten. I don't need that. On some level, you got to be held accountable, yes, but I'm not looking to punish him. I'm trying to get him going. You're trying to prevent the lack of hustle, and you're trying to get him going. Because he was an 800 OPS guy last year. He did hit 25 home runs last year. Last year, he was their best, most consistent hitter. They need that guy back. Did you see the rest of this lineup? Peter and Lawrence. What's up, Pete?
Well, there's an old saying by Jack Palance in that movie with Billy Crystal.
Yes.
It's got friends.
It's got friends. That's right, yes.
You're right about Gleyber. Reminds me of Robinson Cano.
He's a lot like Robinson Cano. He's a lot like Robinson Cano. The difference is Robinson Cano consistently hit 30 home runs and drove in 90 RBIs and was a 310 hitter. That's the difference.
Correct.
That's the difference, but Robinson Cano played the game the exact same way.
And then they made me eat crow today. I was all ready for a victory, and yep. We got a defeat. But in the words of my football coach from high school, you put this in the rearview mirror, you remember it, and you think about July 23rd and July 24th when you meet them again.
That's it, Lauren. That's it, man. You're 100% right. They'll have another opportunity, and hopefully they're playing better baseball by then. And to quote my baseball coach, Gleyber Torres was running slower than... Gleyber Torres is playing tighter than the Dolphins' butt, and that's waterproof. Tommy in Astoria, what's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris, how you doing? Great job opening up with the Meet the Mets song, by the way.
That was awesome. Listen, they deserve it, man. This has been some hell of a run, and they're playing unbelievable baseball. And I did call them dead, and I have to own up to it.
I did, too. I'm the biggest Mets fan in the world. And the same night, that Sunday night, I said they were dead. But about this song, it's funny. It reminds me of one of my all-time favorite FAN moments when Mike and the Mad Dog and Manko sang the Meet the Mets song in studio. That was a classic.
Yeah, I remember that.
Something to pick your spirits up. And, you know, you should be happy. Houston's only 3 games out in the loss column to Seattle. So you might get your chance to play Houston in a playoff.
I know. I'm waiting for it. I'm telling you right now. I'm looking forward to it. I want to play Houston. I do. I know a lot of people can't understand that. I want to play them. I want to beat them.
Yeah, and no, they're playing. They've won 7 in a row. Yep. I think they're 15 out of 21, and it's going to be a tough series for the Mets. They're playing. I think Blanco's pitching Friday, and then Valdez is pitching Saturday.
Yeah.
This is going to be a great series.
It should be. Hopefully, yeah, it's going to be a test. Right now, it didn't feel like the Yankees were a test, but they've come across tests. I mean, they haven't been judged the same way the Yankees have been judged by beating good teams. Like, no one really got on them after the Cubs and said, the Cubs, and they're under 500, the Cubs. But they face good pitching. Imanaga is one of the better pitchers in the National League this year. They face good pitching. And they've pounded it. I mean, not even just like, you know, succeeded and won games. They have decimated starting pitching. Danny and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How's it going?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. All right. So I'm not super excited about the Knicks pick, but definitely hopeful. I mean, he looks like a good kid, and you know, he's 18 years old, and his 3-point shooting's not bad, and his regular shooting, so. I'm hopeful, but we'll see what happens.
We'll just have to wait and see. We have no idea.
Yeah, and I'm excited about the OG signing. I don't know if it's official yet, but they're basically, you know, talking about it. But it'll be official soon.
Yeah, no, and, they're going to sign him. 5 years, $212 million.
Yeah.
It's probably I was reading some stories, and I think the thought was hoping somewhere between 36 and 38, somewhere around there. So it's a little bit pricier than they would have liked to do, but ultimately he turned down more money to come and try and build something with the Knicks. He transformed the team last year, and as long as he's healthy, he is the wing defender that you need if you want to beat Boston and all the shooters they have. So they are built now to try and go attack Boston. That's what they've been built to do. And we'll see if they can accomplish it. But right now, this is about as excited as Knicks fans have been, and especially heading into a season. I mean, they are going to be... I mean, Knicks fans are going to have hopes of winning an NBA title. I think going in... At some point, that happened for the Knicks fan this year, but it never had... It wasn't at the start of the year. At the start of the year, there was like, oh, well, there's Boston, there's Milwaukee, there's even Philadelphia. I don't think anyone really expected them to be an NBA championship contender at the beginning of the year. Like, this is going to be a hyped offseason. This is going to be a hyped opening day. Every opening game, every single game with Boston is going to be crazy intense. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to try to go to a Knicks game this year, because I didn't get to go last year, but it should be good. And then about the Yankees, I mean, I know they're swamping right now, and they honestly, I'm not worried, but definitely it's going to get better. I mean, I think it's going to get out of the funk and just start playing better, and they'll figure it out. I mean, they're the Yankees, so I'm not worried about it.
Well, we'll say, look, I'm worried about it, but they're still in such a good position that I think there's time. I mean, it's just one of those things. I didn't expect them to win 115, 120 games. Like, that's what they were on pace for. They were on pace for an ungodly number of wins. It was never going to happen. Now, I didn't expect them to look this bad necessarily. And here's the other thing that makes me, like, laugh a little bit, because I understand the point of it. But It's like, it's almost like ridiculous because I've heard it's just like 2022, just like 2022. It's exactly like the 2022 Yankees. And I'm like, okay, yes, that team faded down the stretch. Sure. The 22 Yankees won 99 games, won their division, and played in the ALCS. All right, ultimately lost, got swept, got embarrassed, didn't win a championship. But you wouldn't sign right now for this team to win 99 games. You wouldn't sign right now to win a division. You wouldn't sign right now to wake up day for game one of the ALCS. I would. I understand the point. They faded. They weren't as good in the second half. And ultimately, it feels like a mirage of a first half followed by the reality of the second half, which the reality was a division title and playing in the ALCS. So let's not talk about it like it's the worst thing we've ever seen. It's not like, oh, it's 1990 all over again. And yes, that's how far back you have to go to make that bad reference. You have to go back to 1990 if you want to talk about a miserable Yankee team. Just throwing that out at you.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Oh, if only we had no scrubs. Feels like 4 through 9 of the New York Yankees are a bunch of scrubs. And, like, I get it, but everyone's like, oh, well, how could, I heard a couple calls with Keith as I'm driving in. How could Brian Cashman put together this roster without any backup plan? You know Stan's going to get hurt, no backup plan. This one's no backup plan. Like, they had the Martian. Jason Dominguez was back and ready. They knew he'd be back by this time. He was back and ready to play. He got hurt. Pulled an oblique. They traded for Birdie out of Miami. Good, solid, winning player. Ask a Met fan what they think of John Birdie and how well he plays and how a tough little competitor he is and what a tough at bat he can be. The guy looked like he went down like he was shot. Running out of there. He just absolutely tore apart his hamstring or calf muscle, whichever one it was. Like, I don't know when he's coming back. Haven't heard a word about him. He's a right-handed hitter. Hits good left-handed pitching. And obviously now they've lost Stanton. Like, I don't know how many great players. Like, you look at what the Mets have done, right? Oh, the Mets, they're killing it. Offensively, they're killing it. Yeah. Tyrone Taylor hit 2 home runs in this series. Like, if the Mets had Taylor on the bench right now, would you go, oh, what a job by Cashman to get me Taylor? Like, they need the guys who they do have to perform. They need Verdugo not to be terrible. They need Gleyber Torres not to be terrible. And again, if you expected Gleyber Torres to have the worst year of his career at 27 years old after having one of the better years of his career last year, I hear you. And I wanted him gone. And he's going to be gone after this year. This is the end. And we'll see. He might be... They might just trade him for absolutely nothing at the deadline. I'd be surprised, but maybe. But today was a Met and Nick day. The Yankees are a secondary story. Tomorrow we'll talk about the Yankees and see what they do in Toronto tonight. But the Mets are kicking ass, back to 500, jumped over 6 teams in the playoffs, or in the playoff race. They're still a half a game out of San Diego, but they are right there. And their offense looks extremely dangerous. Peter in Manhattan, what's up, Pete?
How are you doing, Chris? I've heard so many kind words about you. So just to remind you, you're my favorite host. I've told you that, so I'm repeating that.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Chris, just a few points with the Yankees. I mean, the Mets did a job on them. If I'm opposing the Yankees now, I just walk judge every time.
Oh, no doubt. It's coming. I've talked about it. I talked about it yesterday. It's coming. Yeah. It makes no sense to pitch to him. Absolutely no sense. That's why it depends on the situation when base is loaded. Like the other day with a 6-run lead, I'm hesitant to walk someone with it. When I have the bases loaded in a 6-run lead, I'm hesitant to walk someone because It just feels like, why would I put on extra runners that could pop? Like, even if he beats me, he can't beat me. Like, I don't want to put on runners. But if he's the tying run or lesser than that, like, if with the bases loaded, if I'm up four or three or two, I'm walking him. No doubt. Unless it's the tie, unless it's the tying run, I'm walking him. Like, that's with bases loaded. If I'm up by four, three, or two, I'm walking him, especially against the Yankees. I mean, I with the rest of the lineup, excuse me. No doubt. Six, seven runs, I'll take my chances. As bad as the other guys are, I get it. And who knows, if I'm in the situation, maybe I actually would walk him. I don't know. But I don't like the idea of adding base runners when I can't be beat no matter what happens with Judge. But yeah, I'm not letting him tie a game for me. I'm not letting him, you know, put one in the gap. Absolutely not. He's going to get walked. He is going to get the Barry Bonds treatment, which leads to something I've been thinking about. And I was against it for a long time. Because it's been brought up here or there, certainly at the start of the year. Do you move Soto behind Judge? And I'm starting to think it makes sense. I'm starting to think moving Soto behind Judge is going to start to make sense for a couple things. One, even when Soto is struggling, he walks. He takes walks. It's his game. You know, Soto walking, if he's going to be the third hitter walked with no protection, it's almost like that happens most of the time with Juan Soto. Anyway, it's not the same thing. And I'd rather have the protection of right now, as much as I like the idea of Soto getting on base, because that's what he does in front of Judge. With Stanton behind Judge, it made sense. Or Gleyber Torres, who I thought was a hitter behind Judge, made sense. Or whoever they might go trade for at the deadline, maybe it will make sense again. But the idea of giving Judge the ability to have a legitimate hitter behind him to make sure they pitch the Judge, I'd rather make sure they pitch the Judge than pitch the Soto, because Soto's more prone to take the walk anyway. And he's not going to do the same kind of damage as Judge. But having said that, in a big spot, you might walk Judge and bring in a lefty to face Soto anyway. Like, I don't, like, that's how good he's been. I mean, I remember I got so much flack for saying Judge is the better player than Soto in April. Oh my God. So what are you, an idiot? This is, you know, Judge doesn't hit in the playoffs. Soto's the better situational hitter. Judge, Soto's this, Soto's that. Look at how he's changed the whole team. There's no doubt who the better hitter is. There's no doubt who's the best hitter in baseball. It's Aaron Judge. It's not close. And so for the first time, I'm really starting to think about maybe switching the lineup up, because I need to protect Judge. I don't need to protect Soto as much. I really don't. I've always been against it. I've always thought this was the way to go. Soto 2, Judge 3. I've wanted it that way the whole season. But if it's going to get to a point, and so far it hasn't, as he hits two home runs against the Mets. We'll see if it gets to that point. But if it starts to get to the point where Judge is constantly walked, I might have to switch them. I might have to switch them, because Soto's going to walk anyway. I need them to pitch the Judge. I need Judge to get his swings. Because you see what he does when he swings the bat. He's got 30 home runs. He's having a better season than he did 2 years ago. It's crazy. I never thought in a million years. I love Judge. I think he's the best hitter on the planet. I think he's as good as it gets. I don't care how much money it costs. You had to bring him back. Love Judge. Think he's a stud. Never doubted him for a second in April. The whole nine. I never thought we would see 2022 again. I thought we'd see close. 50 home runs, sure. You know, 50 home runs, 270, 110 RBIs on a regular basis even. I thought that was a special year that we probably would never see again. And while he still has half a season to complete it, he's better. He's actually better. All of his numbers, top to bottom, he's got way more RBIs. That's a little bit of a team stat, and the offense at the beginning of the year with Juan Soto and everything was much better. But still, he's got way more RBIs. His OPS is higher. His batting average is higher. Like, he's better at everything. It's crazy. They're tied. He had 30 home runs this many games in. Like, it's crazy to think Judge is actually getting better. There he is, Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Good morning, Chris. Good morning. Let me make my point. Don't hang up on me. My son will be six, next April.
Mm-hmm.
So So I need to start, you know, working on him, get him a Knicks jersey, right?
Yes.
Because I can't imagine the thought of him growing up in the household and becoming a Celtics fan, diehard Celtics fan, or, you know, or a Red Sox fan, or a Cowboys or Eagles fan. Yeah. I feel like I'd be embarrassed. I let him down as a parent. Like, I'd have my friends over, you know, and they'd be like, what happened? I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. There's no excuses. I missed that window, you know, when he was, you know.
Yeah, I think that has a lot less to do with how you feel about your son and more about how you feel about you and how you're perceived, to be honest with you.
Yeah, just you like to keep it in the family, Chris. I don't think you're being honest about it. I think the narrative, you're changing it a little bit. Like you said the last call, you said that the last call on this, you said, oh, it's okay. You know, yeah, son, you can have the iPad more or whatever. You could bribe him a little bit to get a good grade. So, I mean, that could be, you know, this is all loose talk, you know, about abuse, you know, like it's funny.
Well,
I'm saying what's wrong
abuse.
With, hey, kid, I'll get
your
ice cream.
Do you want to talk about the Knicks, bro?
All right, I'll talk about the Knicks. Chris, here's the Knicks, ready? But yeah, we're going to the NBA championship. Did you remember the Bucks were missing the best players? You could argue they were the best players in the East. Oh. They were missing them.
Well,
okay, the Heat have the best coach in the East.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, Butler's out. This is all facts. Yeah, they have the best coach in the East.
I agree.
And 76, Embiid was on one leg, still getting 50. So, yes, the Knicks are going to be good, but East is better when healthy, better than the West. So it's not just the Celtics. Everybody's getting confused. Oh, let's build a team, but it's over. We still have to beat those other teams. We're all even, pretty much.
No, I don't. Not the. I don't think they. I think they're.
We're that much better than a Bucks team. Healthy. We're that much better than the Sixers when Embiid's healthy. Yeah?
I think they're deeper. And you just said Embiid dropped 50. I know he wasn't healthy. How much you think he's going to drop 70 every night? Like they also. He played pretty well, despite being injured. And they won, and now they're adding Bridges, and they're going to have Randle. You forget the Knicks injury. You're forgetting the Knicks injury. You're forgetting the answer. Randle will be there as well, hopefully, if they're healthy. I think they're deeper than, I mean, Giannis is a great player, no doubt, and Dame can shoot the lights out from, you know, from the other basket. He's got great range, great shooter, great player. It didn't mesh as well, even during the regular season, without Holiday. I don't think you'd have to show me that it's going to mesh. You got to show me who their coach is. First off, is it Doc Rivers? Because then if it's Doc Rivers, then I feel really good about playing them in a postseason series. And I think they're deeper now. I think this is as deep a roster as any team. I think they're better and deeper than the Miami Heat, even with Jimmy Butler. Now, those teams might make improvements over the course of the regular season or offseason, and we'll have to see. But right now, the Knicks are in a position better than they were last year, and last year they were the 2 seed, and they had their own injuries. They lost Randle. They lost Anunoby for most of the second half of the season. So you can point to the other team's injuries. You're forgetting the Knicks had them too. You'll have a healthy Randle, a healthy Anunoby, plus Brunson emerging as a superstar. Who knows how? Maybe he's even better this year. So, I mean, you're right. They're going to have to. No one's saying it's going to be a cakewalk. No one's saying, oh, they're clearly better, so this team's not important. They wouldn't have a problem with this team, wouldn't have a problem with that team. You're right. Of course, they got to win the series. They got to beat the teams. But right now, roster for roster, I think they would be as deep and as talented as any team this side of Boston. I do. Doesn't mean they can't lose to Milwaukee. Of course they can. Giannis can go nuts. I don't know. Dame can hit every freaking shot he takes. They could lose the series. There's no doubt. And you know, no one's guaranteeing championships. They're just in a very good place. They have now roster to roster before the season starts. It feels they're more capable of winning a championship than they were previously. It feels like they have a roster where it's plausible to say that they have a chance to win a championship. Last year, it didn't feel that way going into the season. It did in January. It did, you know, later in the year. It didn't to start the season. John in Freehold, what's up, John?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good, buddy. How
Chris,
are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. I'm in agreement with you. I think they need a new man in the middle. I'm not a Mitchell Robinson guy. I can't rely or trust in him with his health history anymore.
Yeah.
The guy can't shoot. He has no legitimate low post move as a big man. He's terrible at the free throw line. I got a suggestion for you. A guy that I like is a guy that the Knicks actually drafted a couple of years ago that they should have kept. They had his draft rights, and they traded it away. They were trying to free up salary cap space at that point. And that's Jalen Durant, the Detroit Pistons center. Yeah. You look at the guy's always healthy. He's a stud. He's better at the free throw line. He's a much better offensive player than Robinson is. And he's young, and he's inexpensive. I'd like to move on from Mitchell Robinson. If you ever bring Jalen Durant in, 13.8 points a year ago, 11.6 rebounds, 2.4 assists, and getting better, versus Mitchell Robinson's 9 rebounds per game, 6.7 points, 1.3 assists, and horrific play at the free throw line. I think you need to upgrade at center, get a more offensive-minded center in there, somebody that's going to be healthier and more reliable. And also, I think you could use another shooter, Chris, at that shooting guard spot. They could use some perimeter shooting, for sure. Those are the two areas of concern when I look at the Knicks rounding out this roster.
I think they got some pretty good perimeter shooting, no?
Mikal Bridges isn't a, line him up, knock him down.
No, I mean, he can shoot. DiVincenzo can clearly shoot. Brunson can clearly shoot. Randall took a little bit of the shooting out of his game last year, but I think he can shoot a little bit. And even OG Anunoby has been a pretty good spot up three, especially in the corner, 3-point shooter. I think they've got the shooting. I mean, listen, could you always have more shooting? I suppose, but I think, and then even McBride has shown the ability to come off the bench and be a far better shooter and offensive player than the just defensive virtuoso we thought he was. Like I think they've got a lot of scoring from the perimeter. I don't think that's a need. Can you always get more? Sure. Your point about the center is well taken. Mitchell Robinson's a rebounder and a rim protector, no doubt, and a defender. That's what he is. And I would love to see like a Hartenstein type who his passing ability helped this offense, especially with all the shooters they have. But I'm not sure Durant is a free agent currently. I think there's a club option for this year. So I don't know if it's been picked up or not, but your point about a more offensive-minded center who can hit foul shots and dish the ball a little bit, don't disagree. And especially the main thing is you've got Anunoby now who concerns me about his injury history, and Mitchell Robinson's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. I was joking just before. The morning show had the poll for the Stanton injury. There's no doubt you can have one for Mitchell Robinson and what bone he's going to break or what muscle he's going to pull. There's no doubt. And so now I'm looking at 2/5 of my starting rotation as injury prone. If I brought back Anunoby, I want to move on from Mitchell Robinson. That's what I said the other day, and I'm not sure the Bridges trade changes my mind on that.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:52. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's try and get as many calls as we can. We say goodbye to the Subway Series, and it was a one-way affair as the Mets pounded the New York Yankees 9-7 and then 12-2. Congratulations, Mets fans. Not only do you own the Subway Series, not only do you own the Yankees, and not only did you do exactly what I told you you could do 2 days ago before the series started, make every single Yankee fan question their existence and wonder what the hell is going on with this team because you were able to expose holes. The starting rotation, Cole, Heel, shut down this offense after Judge. You did every, like, if you are the Bob Uecker fan, if you are the Met fan where the only thing that rivals your Met fandom is your Yankee hatred, you hit every single check mark along the way. You pounded the starting pitching. You exposed the rest of this offensive lineup after Volpe, Soto, and Judge. You embarrassed you know, Gleyber Torres, or at least a Yankee. You know, he just someone got embarrassed in the series. You continued to score runs against the bullpen. The only thing you didn't do was beat the closer, but you didn't give his, it didn't even get close to possibly beat Clay Holmes. Why would Clay Holmes be in a game? That's the only thing that could have made it perfect for you. Instead, you just decided to kick the crap out of them for 2 days. So congratulations to the Mets, who not only did that, but thrusted themselves back to 500. Richie in Brooklyn. What's up, Richie?
Who, me? Coney Allen Rich.
Who, me? How you doing? Yes, you. Couldn't be.
Yeah. All right.
Listen, that's the old stole the cookie from the cookie jar.
I've been a Mets fan since I'm 1962. All right? Giant fan, Knicks fan, and a Ranger fan.
Okay.
I do not understand for the life of me why the Yankees go into a little slump and all of a sudden Yankees fans are jumping ship. Like
I don't know
panicking.
Either. I don't know either. I've been having this argument for a long time, not since 1962, but I've been having it for a long time, Richie. I don't know why the Yankee fans go right into impending doom and the season's over and there's no hope and we're terrible. You can't. They're not allowed to have a bad week. Never mind the fact that the Mets, just look at the Mets, right? The Mets are on fire. The offense is incredible. They look like they're the hottest team in baseball. Who knows? Sky's the limit. 2 months ago, they were worse than the Yankees are now. A month ago, they were worse than the Yankees are now. They were getting embarrassed. They had to have a team meeting. The offense was doing nothing. I mean,
they were from the Dodgers. They swept the Braves. They took a series from four of the best teams in baseball. You understand?
Yeah, I do.
All four of the teams that the Yankees lost to. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Well,
the Dodgers.
They took a series from the Dodgers, then got swept by the Dodgers, but sure. The Mets didn't.
I didn't say they got swept. I said they lost the series, the Yankees.
Oh, no, the Yankees. Yeah, the Yankees lost the series to the Dodgers. I'm saying the Mets got swept. You're trying to say the Mets beat the teams that lost to the Yankees.
No,
first
series, we beat them. Don't you remember when, what's his name, Diaz walked Mookie Betts, Ohtani, and what's his name, Freeman, and then he struck out the next three?
I understand. The first time you played them in L.A., you took 2 of 3, and then most recently in the 10-game homestand, you got swept by them, leading to the Lopez throwing the glove in the team meeting.
But I'm saying they've shown that they could go up against good pitching. What bothered me is that they were losing against bad teams.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, I mean, more than that, for a stretch there, they were losing to every team. It was more than just the bad. The Mets were terrible. They were losing to everybody. It wasn't just bad teams. They were losing to everybody. Yes, they did beat the Dodgers in that series in L.A., they did, and then proceeded to lose to everybody for a while. And now they've bounced back. So that's what I would say to any Yankee fan who just assumes this season's over. Look at the Mets. You can have a turnaround. And if you tell me, oh, but the Mets have this and that, yeah, okay, they got Tyrone Taylor hitting home runs. They got Harrison Bader, who you wanted no part of and still bring up to me every time you can about the Montgomery trade. That's who beat the Yankees this week. Omar in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar?
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I feel some pain in your voice by accepting congratulating the Mets fan. You really don't want to do that. But
not at all. I do want to congratulate the Mets fans, not for necessarily beating the Yankees, but for being 500 and having this great turnaround. Absolutely.
Yes, I listen, I'm calling you for...
You think I wanted the Mets to fade away into oblivion and not be able to talk about them for 5 months, 4 months? Believe me, I did not want to do that.
They showed some guts. I put a lot of credit to the players, and you have to give credit to the manager, too.
I think Mendoza's done a really nice job. I do. I think he's done a really, really nice job.
Thinking about the Knicks, like whenever John comes, and there is from the season is over, I understand. Listen, I totally understand that Mitch Robinson is an injury-prone player. Now, they got from Brooklyn Nets, what they got from Brooklyn Nets.
Mikal Bridges.
Mikal Bridges. They cover... even they are paying $230 million to $210 million to Ananobi, but but they are covering that they basically what they are planning is if Ananobi makes 10 or 15 games, we cover a small forward and a shooting guard and a power when Randall comes back. So they have a depth in there. Mm-hmm. Right now, with Antetokounmpo.
I'm sorry, Omar. I got you too. I got to you a little bit late. Call me back tomorrow. We'll still talk, Knicks. I'll be back 2 a.m. We can still talk Knicks and figure out how they're going to establish the idea of dealing with both an injured Ananobi and an injured Mitchell Robinson. You can call me up and tell me. Thank you guys for doing that. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Fliegelman on the other side. Appreciate it as always. Congratulations, Mets. And I'm not saying that begrudgingly. I'm not. I called you dead. I was wrong. Right now, the offense is killing it. You just took the Yankees out behind the woodshed. Congratulations. Savor the flavor. I don't know when it'll happen again. Probably the end of July. Until then, I'll see you. I'll be back 2 a.m. tomorrow. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.